Hello and welcome to Zero Hanger TV. I'm your host, Phoenix Trinidad, and I'm joined by our AFL chief editor, Mitch Keating. Hello, mate.
Hey, mate. How are you? Good to have you back on.
Oh, no worries. It's been a little while since I've been on. You've grown a beard.
Yeah.
You've grown a beard.
Yeah, I was growing it until you came back on. So you're back now. I've got to shave it. Yeah, well, we'll get through that.
Okay. I keep it. I like it. It's good. It's a good look. All right. So we're going to jump straight into it. So we are in May. We have established we're in autumn just off camera. And so I think it's time for a trade update. So there's a big list of names
May trade
here.
Update.
And yeah, so let's just go through them. Mm. What is happening with probably the biggest name on the list and the biggest name in the AFL. Actually, maybe not the biggest name in the AFL anymore, but Bailey Smith.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. He's obviously a different case for most, given he's not playing this year. Seemed like there was probably doubt he was going to stay with the Bulldogs beyond this year, even last off-season. So I don't think much of that's changed. I don't think he'd be there beyond this year. And I think the Dogs might be happy to pocket a first-round pick, given they don't have their own this year as well. So they'll potentially get more than that. In negotiations, they'll play pretty hard to, and they'd obviously want to keep him, but Collingwood, Hawthorn, some options for him. Geelong, I think, is the other one. So there's not going to be short of suitors. The other clubs will probably come knocking as well, I would have thought, at some point. But yeah, my tip is he's probably not at the kennel next year. And you know, Hawthorn are probably the club that has the best hand to offer. You know, you look at, they'll probably have another top five pick. Collingwood don't have their first round pick. Geelong's pick, good chance it's outside the top 10. Could be, you know, outside the top 15 if they finish the season strong enough. And yeah, I think the Dogs want just more than a top 10 pick, given they spent pick 7 on Bailey and 6 or 7 on Bailey, 6 years ago, and he's been pretty solid for them. You know, and his upside is huge. And then, yeah, you talk about the marketability as well of someone like Smith. Yeah, so I think worth more. Depends obviously what pick, but worth more than just like than pick 10, I'd say.
Yeah. So even with the ACL, still bare minimum top 10 pick.
Well, like, yeah, clubs will do their testing and stuff, but you'd think he did it, you know, late last year, a whole season of rehab. You know, the Dogs aren't going to rush him into anything because there's no return date for him this year at all. So
yeah,
you'd think that's more than enough time. That's, you know, a year and a preseason to kind of get himself right. So that should be fine, I would have thought. But like I said, that's why it's such a curious case that it's a player who can only go off his last bit of form, which was last year, and probably wasn't the best footy he's played. So still young, plenty of upside, good value. Just, yeah, I don't think, my tip is he wouldn't be at the Dogs next year.
Yep. Interesting. All right. So next on the list are two Swans, Will Hayward and Logan McDonald.
Yeah, two completely different scenarios for each. Will Hayward being a free agent, Logan McDonald being off contract and would have to be traded. Hayward's, you know, South Australian player, so from South Australia, so you'd assume, you know, both the Crows and Port would be keen, and would probably fit into both systems nicely. The Power probably just need more of that medium-sized forward, and Adelaide, similar as well, I guess. They've got their good talls, decent smalls, and maybe that man in the middle who can push a little bit up the ground as well would be nice for them. Obviously, both clubs in a contending window, you'd think, over the next few years, but that's the same as the Swans.
Yeah.
So you'd have to weigh up if you're potentially leaving a premiership contender for a club who's maybe a year or two behind them. And then, yeah, probably can't rule out some Victorian clubs if it's, you know, if someone can offer a decent enough deal. But you'd think that Adelaide would have probably the most flexible salary cap out of the Crows, Power, and the Swans. And then over to McDonald, yeah, he's another one. So the Swans have done well to knock off signatures for Errol Goulden. They got Ollie Florent done and James Rowbottom done. So that's three of the five they're probably hoping to get knocked on the head this year. And Logan McDonald and Will Hayward are the other two. And McDonald, obviously big lure from WA. You'd think you'd have probably bigger deals and offers from both Freo and West Coast. And then the Freo one who have three first-round picks this year. So as far as needing to get a trade done with Sydney, they can probably offer up a bit more. That is obviously depending on how they finish and how Collingwood and Port Adelaide finish with those three picks. Plus, they've got their future first, whereas West Coast, you know, their first pick is probably going to be the strongest out of out of all of those on the table, but what else can they offer? Is it back-to-back? I don't know if West Coast would be wanting to give up their own first-round pick, let alone consecutive ones. So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, how the both forward lines are kind of performing this year begs the question, do they definitely need to get Logan McDonald now, or can, you know, will he sign like a two-year deal and they can come back around again? Obviously, you know, the Dockers have Jai Amos, Josh Tracy's in great form, and plus Luke Jackson, and West Coast have obviously got Jake Waterman playing absolutely fantastic football, and then Oscar Allen to come back in, and it's probably that Jack Darling replacement. So that's a pretty good three forwards if you swap Darling out for McDonald. But yeah, the Eagles would have to really consider where they're going to want to get rid of their top pick this year to get Logan McDonald to the club.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, all that being said, I don't think they're going to want to lose, the Swans aren't going to want to lose either of those because they're still very good players, obviously. Mm-hmm. Next one on the list, Elliot Yeo.
Yeah, another free agent. It's a bit of an interesting one. I wouldn't think he leaves, but you're probably way up, you know, does he want to be contending in the final few years? Obviously, he's just getting his body fit again, albeit a bit sore on the weekend. Yeah. But ideally, you know, that's a short little hill to get over, and he's back playing the footy that he has to the start of the season. You know, one of the form players of the competition across probably the opening five rounds, and even a little bit after that, he's been very solid for them. But yeah, the Eagles, if they can get decent compensation, do they kind of, you know,
well, what's he him? Worth?
Well, he won't be like he won't be traded for, so it's kind of hard. But it just comes down to an offer and what he could get. And if you're a club, you're probably happy to pay up a little bit. The injury history brings his price down a little, but they could definitely get a. They won't be happy about it, but maybe end of second. Oh, I'd say second round, maybe end of first round. I should say
he's like late 20s, isn't he? He's not.
He'd be 30.
Yeah, so he'd be getting, you know, what, a
two-year deal. One club might put up 3 years if they back in their high performance team, but. Yeah, that's an interesting one to see. I don't think he would leave, but there would be some clubs who are in that window who need a bit of, you know, explosiveness through the middle, and maybe a bit more just experience in general. He's a premiership player already, and could offer a few of the contending clubs some help through the middle. Going off what we've seen this year, it's just a matter of does a club take the risk on a 2 to 3 year deal worth $700,000-$800,000, and then would West Coast stand in his way if he was keen to leave, and how hard would they push to keep him as well, given they probably need to prioritize all their younger players and he might not be there when they are eventually contending again. So yeah, curious one.
Yep. Interesting. I can't, my vibe, just going purely off vibes, I can't really see him leaving, but yeah, again, depends what he's offered. Another big name, one that's getting talked about a lot is Liam Baker.
Yeah. So another kind of one that West Coast would be needing to deal with and around, given them and Freo have both been tied with him. Obviously, WA player, similar to Elliot Yeo, already has a premiership or two or three under his belt with the Tigers, so it's not like he's still chasing that. And you can look where Richmond are at the moment, a big kind of revamp phase under Adam Uze. So I think you feel like if he goes to a club like West Coast, he's not taking too many steps back. Like Richmond could be a contender this year if they were fit. I think that's fine to say. Whereas West Coast at their fittest are still probably in that bottom third. But, you know, things are starting to turn. As far as, you know, the monetary side of things, you'd think West Coast can stamp up a pretty decent offer. Freo might be able to do similar. It's so hard. It's interesting to see, how the clubs would pitch to Baker and what role he'd be given. Richmond, I think they like playing him forward. He's playing midfield at the moment, given they don't have many available. And I like him in the middle. But I think his best role is kind of that floating halfback, where he can just get his own ball and kind of offer it into the forward half. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting what kind of role he'd get. Obviously, Freo are stacked with midfielders, and West Coast have put a lot of draft capital into midfielders, Jimmy, Elijah Hewitt, and obviously Harley Reid as well. So, yeah, that's another one, obviously, that'll I think he probably leaves. Sounds like he's a good chance to leave by a few reports. I think West Coast would be the right call. Put him on a half back and roll through the middle, and you can play all three lines. That's what's so good about him. And I think, you know, he could probably be a future captain of
he's of got the Eagles. A lot of leadership qualities about him at the moment, and of course that premiership experience. So interesting one. So another name that probably a lot of people haven't really heard of or thought about much is Harry Perriman.
Yeah, so he's one that's popped up in the last few weeks. I think a few reports have said both South Australian clubs. Like, he's from, you know, the Riverina region, so there's no really go home factor, whether it's New South Wales or Victoria. So South Australia's, you know, would still be in that kind of option. Sounds like both clubs, and yeah, you know, good hard nosed defender, can roll through the middle, can maybe, I think, better as an attacking option out of the back half than kind of that lockdown option. But yeah, still really good on both sides of possession. I think he's a free agent as well. So again, it's just a bit of a bidding war on who can probably stump up the most money. Giants would love to keep him, but I'm just not sure where they're, you know, they've done pretty well contract wise to get everyone else sorted. So I'm not sure where that kind of leaves them for some of their remaining off contract players like a Perryman.
Yep.
But I think he'd be a good get for any contending club for sure.
Yep. One to watch. Last two names and some big ones. Hugh McCluggage.
Yeah, well, obviously he's one of the seven restricted free agents still unsigned. So that's usually will mean that there'll be some decent interest and by decent, I mean, you know, high price interest. And Hugh McCluggage is, you know, I was about to say one of the best outside midfielders. Probably not at the moment, but... you know, I think he still has some decent room to grow, and there'd be a lot of clubs that would like a bit of that outside run to complement the inside midfield game. And obviously from country Victoria out west, from Ballarat, and yeah, there'd be, you know, wouldn't be short on suitors. And I think that'll push his price up a fair bit. You also have to take into consideration the new CBA is going to be having, you know, more and more million-dollar players. So if he's on seven figures, while, or, you know, 1.1 million, if people think it's probably overs for him, it's probably just going to be the new standard for a player of his kind of pedigree. So I think he probably, like, I'd think he would stay. I think Brisbane will turn their season around, and he has a pretty significant role for them to complement Josh Dunkley and Lachie Neale in the middle, and he's having a pretty good season as well. So
yep.
Won't be short of interest, but my tip overall is he might stay.
$1 million for Hugh McCluggage.
That's what I'm saying.
That.
Like, yeah, like I think at first thought you might question it. You can probably still question it on the second thought as well. But it's probably that new standard. And if you're thinking you're signing a player on 5 years, at the end, in that fifth year, if he's on $1 million, it's probably going to feel more like it could be like $700,000, maybe $800,000 player, which is probably what he's worth, I'd say.
Yeah. Definitely worth more than me. So last one on the list, a question mark on it. This is an interesting one. Patrick Dangerfield.
Yeah, this was I think this was 7 News that put this one up on Monday night.
Yeah.
That the Crows were kind of having a look at Danger. I don't hate it.
That would be very interesting to see him go back.
Given how the fans have kind of treated him since he left. But God, doesn't he kind of feel what they need? Just a bit of explosiveness through that midfield group. You know, they got Dawson, Laird and Crouch, probably give them only 1 to 2 gears to shift through. And like Danger's, what, he's well into his 30s.
Yeah.
33, 34. He might be even older than that. But yeah, I liked it from Adelaide. I don't think it happens, obviously. Like he's just gotten home. He wanted to get home and he's just built his house in Hawks Creek. It'd be, what, 1 2-year deal if they wanted to give him something.
But I'd imagine it could be, you know, if he's got something lined up after footy, like a coaching role or
that's
something.
The thing. He's a media guy, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
He does a lot of work with Channel 7.
Yeah. But he's also like AFLPA president and stuff. Yeah. Like there's a, yeah. I could see him getting into a coaching role or something after.
Oh,
as well.
No, I think it could work. It just seems like he's a foot in the door already for media.
Yeah.
And the best way to, I think, go about that would be in Melbourne or in Victoria.
Yeah.
So look, I love it from Adelaide. Geelong, you know, I think would do everything they can to keep him around.
Yeah.
Interesting one for Danger. I don't think it happens at all. Probably doesn't get past the question, but I love it from Adelaide. I think it's a nice little one. You know, they just need a bit more experience as well, maybe through the middle. And they lose Rory Sloane, who probably might not have played beyond this year despite his recent setbacks. But yeah, big fan of it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, I could see it. But then again, like you sign him on and then he'd probably be out every other few weeks or a couple of weeks.
Yeah, they have to manage him a lot given that's what Geelong are already doing and they've lost him to two hamstring injuries this year already.
I think it'd be worth it just to see how the crowd reacts at Adelaide Oval, just because, you know, he's been booed pretty much every game since.
Popping up, but yeah, no, it'd be an interesting scenario to play out, but obviously a very unlikely one.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, cool. Well, that wraps it up for the trade update. Moving over now to our MVP voting, and Zach Merritt is now within 3 votes of leader Isaac Heaney. Pretty well deserved. We talked about him in our Hard Knocks segment yesterday. He's getting a lot more recognition, and I think it's pretty well deserved.
Absolutely, yeah. And he's not like this young player anymore. Like, he's pushing 30 soon, mm-hmm. I think. But it's certainly that he's playing a similar game to what he's done the last few years. He's just doing it a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, that newfound leadership that he's got is playing a role in that as well. But yeah, fantastic. What do you have, 30-3 or something against the Eagles? So that sees him, I think he polled 17 votes. Probably a bit stiff, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Probably could have had a perfect 20 in my eyes. But yeah, 17 votes. I think him and Heaney, the only two players to have polled in every single game they've played in,
yep.
which is obviously some feat, especially with the Bombers. You know, their record isn't as shiny as the Swans. So yeah, just 3 votes behind Heaney. Max Gawn's the third player to get the triple digits this year. So that's the top three at the moment. Caleb Sarong, 17 votes to his name. I think it was pretty evenly spread between him and Hayden Young and Luke Ryan in that win over Richmond. So that top four group is getting tighter and tighter. Isaac Heaney's had that lead, I think, since round two. So he gets it for another week after he polled 8 votes. But Zach Merritt is coming quickly. And yeah, Max Gawn has been, I think, polled in most games over the past month and a half. So there is that chasing pack that's starting to, tighten the gap between Isaac Heaney and the rest of the competition.
Yeah.
A few other highlights from the weekend. Nick Dacos, the only player to poll 20 votes. I don't think that happens often, that it was just one player unanimously seen as best on ground for one particular game. I think we had 10 players poll at least 17 votes over the weekend. But yeah, Dacos into the top 10. He was in there earlier in the year, I think.
Yeah.
And now, on 69 votes, equal 8th with Patrick Cripps. Few other big vote getters from the weekend: Dane Zorko, Jake Sligo, Jack Sinclair, Marcus Bontempelli, and Zach Butters in the top 10 at the moment. Obviously, Butters has just strengthened his spot and Bont's back in the top 10. And then Luke Ryan, as we mentioned earlier, was also among those to poll pretty strongly from round 8.
Yeah, good one. All right, moving over now to our rookie rankings. And Darcy Wilson, Caleb Winslow putting in their season best. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Caleb Winslow. I've been singing his praises since round one. And on the weekend, I reckon he's got some Brownlow votes as well.
Good chance. Kicked that nice goal at the end and kind of made up for one he missed earlier. But yeah, just as we've come to know, just ran all game. Did really well against some pretty decent Geelong wingmen. And he just... at the G, just looks to thrive. Obviously, a bit of a bigger paddock for him. But it's speed, it's kicking. It's what we kind of came to see from him at the Eastern Rangers last year as well, and hence why he was a top 7 pick at the National Draft. So, yeah, he was fantastic. And like you said, season best performance for him. And the same can be said for Darcy Wilson. So those two are now 3rd and 4th, both jump up a spot in our rookie rankings. And Wilson, 30-3. One of just like an X factor effort for the Saints, and among their match winners, you know, they kind of cruised to a win against the Roos, but he really stood tall. And even that big collision with George Wardlaw, got up, played on, and saw out the game. So that was a really decent effort from a guy in his first year, and his kilometers and GPS numbers are just off the charts, kind of like what Ollie Hollins was doing at Carlton last year. So those two are the two risers this week. Harley Reid holds his spot in one. Colby McKercher probably closes that gap as well.
Yep.
In 2nd spot. And I think between those four, it's probably the shortest gap between the top four that we've seen all season now. And then, just below them, obviously Sam Closey just drops a couple spots. Not a terrible game by any means, just the form of the other two was fantastic. And Will Graham probably holds his less touches, but still had 8 tackles. I think he's 2nd in the comp for tackles per game at the moment. For a first-year player, that's a pretty good effort.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to knock Harley Reid off the top, especially when he's fending off two people in the space of 2 seconds. But Yeah, interesting one.
And yeah, a couple of honourable mentions. A few of the mature age guys and a few debutants as well. So Lachie Sullivan was huge after he came on as the sub on Friday night. I think he was among the top seven best performers from that point onwards in the game. Bruce Revel, a bit of a shout out to him in the Sunday night's Q clash. Just looks so at ease at senior level. Mykelty Lafau, another honourable mention. Obviously, he's been around for six games now, I want to say. Yeah.
I really like the look of him.
Yeah, he's... Well, he's another one who has really good GPS numbers. And for a guy of his size, to really just be running out the games at a high speed for long.
Yeah.
But also he's kind of, you know, manning that and spearheading that Richmond four line at the moment and did a pretty decent job on Alex Pierce. And then the other one, of course, Kalsha Deer, that's a great story. Probably, you know, the Hawks probably didn't want him debuting in his first year, just want a bit more development. But given the circumstances, its selection.
He kicked his first goal as well.
Yeah, he kicked a couple, one early, one late. And... you know, he just got rewarded for some good VFL form. So yeah, I think they'll be wrapped with how his debut turned out in a win.
Yep.
So yeah, great scenes for Kelsha.
Beautiful. All right. Well, that wraps it up for Zero Hanger TV this week. Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Phoenix.
And don't forget, you can catch all the latest AFL news at zerohanger.com, the number one AFL independent news source.